Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. A federal jury rejected the death penalty for Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. They decided he will spend life in prison for his role in the 9/11 attacks. After 7 days of deliberations, the 9 men and 3 women decided against the government's appeal for the death penalty. The verdict came after 4 years of legal maneuvering and a 6-week trial. Today, Britain and France introduced a United Nations Security Council resolution aimed at stopping Iran from enriching uranium. The resolution supported by the U.S., but opposed by Russia and China. The resolution would trigger sanctions against Iran if it does not abandon uranium enrichment. Supporters are hoping the council will adopt the resolution before foreign ministers convene in New York on Monday. The resolution mandates Iran suspend all enrichment-related and reprocessing activities. It also calls on Iran to stop construction of a heavy water reactor. The resolution would also seek a report back from the International Atomic Energy Agency on Iran's compliance by early June. The Bush administration says local governments and business leaders should not count on the federal government alone to rescue them in the event of a bird flu pandemic. In the letter announcing an updated bird flu plan, George Bush says the U.S., quote, will face this global threat as a united front. But Bush also writes, individual citizens are, quote, necessary to the success of minimizing what could be massive social and economic disruptions. The report is predicting a severe outbreak could take up to 40% of the workforce in America off the job for a few weeks at a time. The strategy also breaks down exactly which government agency is responsible for some 300 tasks to slow down the spread of the virus and dispense stockpiles of medical supplies. A tsunami warning lifted for the South Pacific. The warning was issued after a magnitude 7.8 quake rocked the ocean 95 miles south of the island nation of Tonga. A tsunami warning issued for New Zealand, 1,300 miles away. The warning was lifted after a tsunami of less than 2 feet was recorded. A reporter who drove through the city saw no damage to buildings on Tonga, but they said bookshelves were toppled over and some minor damage. Power in the city was out for about 2 hours after the earthquake. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. How you doing? Did you have a good day? Welcome to the program. And welcome once again to Air America, Little Rock, Arkansas, 1380 KDXC AM. I understand there was some static on the program last night. People couldn't quite get a clear signal. Hopefully that's been corrected. As promised, we have some pathetic clips left over from last night from the waning days of Simple Scotty McClellan, just two or three. This is, as we told you last night, he probably has an airline ticket and a copy of Manhole magazine in his coat pocket. Got to get back home to Me Love You Long Time Jeff Gannon. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that people should declare themselves. The torture is widespread around the globe, and the United States, under the Bush crime family, is contributing its part in that hideous scenario. But the torture for Scott McClellan is just about over. We have some corrections and addenda from last night. Serious correction here from Tracy, University of Michigan. She is writing a dissertation on the civil rights movement and the press. And she wrote to me about my comments regarding Fannie Lou Hamer last night. I said that Fannie Lou Hamer was a member of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party and showed up at the 1964 Democratic Party convention demanding to be seated, and did get seated. Well, that's just the first of the errors. Let me just and this is important. You know, a lot of people say, well, what the hell, I asked 40 years ago. No, this is very, very, very important. Especially given the fact that I put out the wrong information on this program. That's secondary. I mean, I just don't want to put out anything that's not true. Opinion's one thing. But stating something as historical fact when it's not is something else again, and I can't do that. Let me just tell you what Tracy wrote. She said, Fannie Lou Hamer did testify before the Credentials Committee of the 64 Convention on behalf of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. The MFDP demanded to be seated in place of the all-white Mississippi delegation and arrived with file cabinets of evidence of systemic racial disenfranchisement in Mississippi. As a side note, they also brought the vehicle that James Cheney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman were driving when they were pulled over and executed by a combination of the Klan and the Mississippi police. Anyway, while she was testifying, and this is the part when I got Tracy's email, I thought, oh my God, I remember this. This was live television. And while Fannie Lou Hamer was testifying, Lyndon Johnson was so infuriated by her testimony that he interrupted with an impromptu press conference in order to get her off the networks. Lyndon Johnson did. Now, the networks, in turn, were so infuriated by LBJ's stunt that they re-aired her testimony in full on their later broadcasts. And as Tracy writes, in parentheses, a lesson about the devolution of the press. Can you imagine, you know, we talk about this frequently, about how there used to be a real press in this country. Yeah, 40 years ago. So the press slammed back at Lyndon Johnson and said, oh, okay, you want to play like that? Okay, fine. Now, anyway, the Credentials Committee of the Democratic Convention offered a compromise in which the all-white Mississippi delegation would remain seated, you know, as the legal representations representatives of the Democrats in Mississippi, and the MFDP would be granted two at-large seats at the convention. Thus, the MFDP was granted only two seats, and they were denied the right to claim themselves representatives of their own home state. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, including Fannie Lou Hamer, unanimously rejected that compromise offer, despite pressure from Dr. Martin Luther King and other so-called mainstream civil rights organizations to go ahead and accept the compromise. But Fannie Lou Hamer and the MFDP said no. So as a result, Fannie Lou Hamer was not seated at the convention. They did protest at the convention. Now, the protest and the compromise were sufficient, Tracy writes, to cause the mass exodus of the Dixiecrats from the Democratic Party, the consequences of which, as you know, we suffer to this day. Now, here are a couple lessons. Two lessons, Tracy writes. One, the Democratic Party's history suffered then, as it does now, by torn conflicts between its purportedly progressive platform and more conservative and politically expedient interests. Isn't that true? It's true today, isn't it? The Democratic Party then and now, of course, it's easy to understand then because the country was absolutely, totally, blatantly racist at the time. And now we've become a little more subtle about it. Not much, but a little more. And number two, Fannie Lou Hamer's so-called victory was in her act of speaking against the white folks and exposing their unwillingness to honor the U.S. Constitution. In fact, it was, among other things, the failure of the Mississippi Democratic Party challenge that drove its parent organization, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. Remember SNCC? A good friend of mine here in Atlanta was one of the founders of SNCC, John Lewis. The failure of the Mississippi Democratic Party to get seated drove its parent organization, SNCC, to sever its ties with white liberals and the Democratic Party and led SNCC instead to black power. The phrase black power. Stokely Carmichael, remember? And Tracy writes, sorry for the history lesson, but your error last night masks some important lessons. No, don't. I hope nobody ever apologizes for sending me a correction to this program. And thank you very much. I appreciate it because memory fogs. And I have forgotten the essential elements of Fannie Lou Hamer's protest, that it was a flashpoint that resulted in helped result in the death of the Democratic Party in the South. The Democratic Party in the South, it was blatantly racist. As a matter of fact, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, so was the Republican Party. But the Democratic Party had a reputation of being the party of the people, and it was not. It was the party of the white people. Anyway. Thanks, Tracy. You've probably seen this. It's all over the net. In answer to George Bush's question, why do they hate us? One of the reasons they hate us, especially in Baghdad, is this $500 million U.S. embassy that's being built there. An article in the Times of the U.K., Times of London, there's a question that is raging through Baghdad. Apparently, how is it the Americans can't keep the electricity running in Baghdad, a city we've destroyed for more than a couple hours a day, but we're managing to build ourselves the biggest embassy on Earth? Do you know you can see this thing from space? It's bigger than Vatican City. Jesus, God. The Times of London says irritation grows as residents deprived of air conditioning and running water 3 years after the U.S.-led invasion watch the massive U.S. embassy that is now being referred to as George W.'s Palace rising on the banks of the Tigris River. This is obscene. This is an obscenity beyond belief, isn't it? Huh? People say in Iraq that the structure is bigger than anything Saddam built. And they have a question. The people in Iraq, did anyone pay for this, or was the land just taken? Well, it covers 104 acres. What do you want to bet it was just glommed up? It says, while families in the capital suffer electricity cuts, queue all day to fuel their cars, and wait for water pipes to be connected, the U.S. mission is due to open in June next year, have its own power generating plant, its own water plant, to cater to the population the size of a small town. Now, it's being built by a Kuwaiti contractor. No Iraqis need apply. A Kuwaiti contractor who has employed only foreign staff and is busing them to and from a temporary camp nearby in building this thing. There is going to be the biggest swimming pool in Iraq inside this monstrosity, a state-of-the-art gymnasium, cinema, restaurants, tennis courts, just on and on. Why do they hate us, George? Never mind.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem, man. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour, this embassy in Iraq is just I can't think of a greater obscenity. Can you? I mean, other than the fact that we've butchered 100,000 plus Iraqis, that's an obscenity. Bush has butchered 2,400 of our soldiers and Marines. That's an obscenity. Bush and his crime family have caused the wounding and injuring of thousands now of American soldiers and Marines. The wounding and injuring of hundreds of tens of thousands of Iraqis. So when I say I can't think of a worse obscenity, I'm talking about an edifice or something that will be in the face of, never mind, Christ, their cemeteries will be in their face. They're dead. Oh, forget it. It's sick. It's sick. And I've got a list here of all the projects that have not been completed or even a third of the way completed in Baghdad and the rest of Iraq, but why bother? Screw it. All right, just some additions to the immigrant speech and I think or the immigrant issue, and I think we're going to leave it, okay? Because I obviously am pissing off just an enormous mountain of liberals, and frankly, you all are pissing me off too with what you're emailing me. So I think it's time we kind of dropped it, because you're not going to solve it, and neither am I. I don't know how it's going to be solved. It is an issue that is designed to cause more chaos and misunderstanding among Americans and people who come to this country. It is also designed as one more evil trick by the Bush crime family to ensure that Republicans stay in office. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody is rising to the bait. And maybe it's time to move on. But let me just be clear for the record, while I acknowledge I'm really irritating some people who are writing to me who claim absolute liberal credentials. Okay, fair enough. That's just the nature of this program. But I have to say in response that, back at you, I am seeing some things that some fault lines in liberalism that I don't claim to pretend I haven't known about. We are beset with fault lines. That's why the Democratic Party is the Democratic Party. But it's time to put this to rest. But I am going to, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think it's doing any good to continue the discussion. The people who are concerned about this will continue to take to the streets or continue to try, like Sensenbrenner, to pass legislation that prevents people from coming to this country legally or illegally. The distinction is horse crap, and I know that, and you know that. And the people are sending me all these statistics about how local health facilities are just overwhelmed with immigrants in local jails and so on and so forth. There are very simple answers and explanations to those problems, but I'm just not going to go there. I really am not. Okay, I just am not. All right, from Prairie 2, hey, Mike, this isn't like earlier influxes of immigrants. We aren't in a growth period. People's fears aren't irrational, just misguided. Backlash toward immigrants isn't because people want to be racist. Around here, wherever that is, the only industry is boarding up factories. All that is left in most towns are processing plants that employ illegal immigrants. Until Reagan, these plants were union jobs. The only good jobs for citizens are in government. But local taxes are drying up as the town becomes just a work camp. They've become dependent on state and federal money that is now being cut. When you're 30-something, kids are living in your basement and you are told by the government and media that nothing can be done about the illegal immigrants, who are you going to blame? I wish you would rethink your position on this. It doesn't do any good to berate people who are seeing their very way of life disappear. The Mexicans come here because NAFTA destroyed their agriculture. They would be happy to go back if we just stopped dumping cheap grain in Mexico. Corporate control of agriculture here is all about using it as a weapon against other countries and reality against us. Saying you can't move 12 million people is nonsense. The neocons did it. Okay, this is from Vidal. Hey, Mike, I hear what you said about losing friends over your opinions about immigration. Well, you won't lose this listener, although I can empathize, sympathize, et cetera, with those who are scared or emotional about illegal immigration. And although it should be clear that immigration issues are complicated and nuanced, with neither clear facts nor clear solutions, one thing I can't stand is the comment that, quote, they should do it right and come here legally, end quote. Well, I'm sure most illegal aliens would gladly come here legally, if they could. Not all of us or our parents were lucky enough to be able to come here legally. Mine did, but when I see illegal aliens, I say, quote, there but for the grace of God go I, close quote. My parents came from Mexico in the late 50s and benefited from the American dream, which I think is on its deathbed, for themselves and their children. No, I'm not, blah, blah. Anyway, I too am tired of whining, and notwithstanding that I think illegal immigration brings down wages, etc., will never have the gall to think I have a moral right to close the doors behind me. I too have a problem with participating in marches, not only because of the mixed agendas, still one cannot deny that making a felony of what is currently a regulatory violation is immoral, counterproductive, and is, and at least on that point, I think the protests are laudable. We got a break. Let me finish this up when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oreck XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. All right, I want to finish this up, and then we're going to go to some phone calls tonight, like we did last night. This is from Vidal, who is defending the idea of, well, defending my opinions about immigration. I think that's what he's the intent here. And he's talking about the demonstrations. He says, finally, waving a Mexican flag may be bad PR, but it is not. But it is often not an issue of allegiance to Mexico, although it is sometimes. It is a symbol to rally around by a downtrodden people of a new, relatively speaking, quote, race, close quote, who have faced discrimination, etc., not only here, but in Mexico. And in my opinion, it's somewhat akin to other symbols of racial, ethnic unity and solidarity. At least for most, me included, although as time moves on, I personally find the use of symbols and such as immature and counterproductive. I'm ranting now. Anyway, you are one of the clearest thinkers on radio. Blah, 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 blah. On the political front, Camarón que se duerme se lo lleva la corriente, which means the shrimp who falls asleep is swept away by the current. A saying on the machete from my uncle in Chihuahua, who gave it to me a long time ago. Blah, 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 blah. Well, thanks, Vidal. This is from Sandy, who identifies herself as another one of my pagan listeners. Sandy writes, hi, Michael, listen to you every day, and as much as I agree with you on most things, I have to respectfully disagree with you on immigration. You seem to take an either-or view on what others believe. You see, I don't believe that this has so much to do with the immigrants who just want a better life for their families or just want to survive, period, as much as it has to do with corporate greed. I have been directly affected by this. The complete finance department in, and she names the city, of Singular Wireless was moved to, and she names another city. Why? Because workers' wages had been cut because so depressed there that if I wanted to follow my job, I would have had to take an $8,000 a year wage cut. And I didn't make that much to begin with. My husband works in construction and makes a very good wage as a union electrician. Unfortunately, union jobs are getting more and more scarce because of supply and demand of workers. Wages go down and prices go up. I'm back in college to finish my accounting degree. When I finally get the degree, I don't know how I'll be able to pay off all my student loans. The system has to change or else everyone who works normal 8-to-5 jobs are all screwed. I don't know if you believe this or not, but I think we need to put severe penalties on the corporations that hire illegal immigrants for depressed wages, then put tariffs on those that leave the country for cheap labor, the corporations. Blah, 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 blah. This is the point of view that you seem to be forgetting while you were on your rant last night. Go ahead and rip me. I truly believe that people who don't look far enough into basic economics are playing right into the corporatist hands. I hope you realize this and I misunderstood what you were saying. I'm listening to your show now from White Rose Society. Maybe you will clarify your point. I sure hope so. Well, I don't see anything in your email here that disagrees with anything I've said. Of course it's the corporations. I've said this over and over and over and over again. There has been not one instance of a gang of wild-eyed Mexicans or Guatemalans breaking into the employment division of an American company, whether it's a factory farm or a manufacturing plant, and pulling out guns and saying, immediately fire 10 of your workers so the 10 of us can take their jobs. Now, this is essentially is the subtext of what the right-wingers want you to say and what or want you to believe and what apparently a lot of liberals want us to believe. That's not what's happened. Why is that so hard to understand? Now, I'm isolating here just the job issue. I realize there are other societal issues when you have 12 million people show up looking for work. But if we're talking about Mexicans or Hondurans stealing American jobs, that's nonsense. Not only is it nonsense, it is logically impossible unless we are going to say and admit, unless it is a fact, that armed gangs of immigrants show up and force American workers off the job and step into their slots. Come on, you all, don't be like this. Now, as far as what Sandy's writing here about corporations being responsible, well, of course corporations are responsible. From Heather in New York. Heather writes, dear Mike, who's been stealing the jobs I've been applying for in the last 10 years of my career? Not immigrants, no, but someone who's related to the boss, married to the boss, friends with the boss, or sleeping with the boss. When they downsized my last company, my job was too low pay to be axed. They kept all the idiot workers and or rehired those they laid off as contract workers while paying these same people their severance packages. Immigrants don't steal jobs. Employers embrace their greed and give your job to someone with no choice but to take less pay. Did that stupid hoe steal my last boyfriend? No, he chose to take advantage of some other woman dumb enough to fall for his line of crap. Yeah, all right. Thank you, Heather. Dave in San Mateo, California. Mike, I look for opportunity in any problem. With the immigration issue, I see the potential to fix Social Security, for example, into the, quote, infinite horizon, close quote. If the graying of the U.S. population is such a serious concern, let's find a constructive way to admit as many immigrants as possible, as quickly as possible. If we were to admit or legalize 30 million young workers and their families, we wouldn't have to worry about who will support our aging baby boomers. Yeah. And this is from JG. Hi, Mike. Those who are sending you the emails complaining so much about the immigrants should read what is written on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And then if they still want to make them all felons, amend the above to say, we don't really mean it. Yeah. And Reg writes, if Cubans come in here illegally, and this is a point that nobody seems to have talked about, including moi, if Cubans coming here illegally manage to get their feet on dry land, they have the right to come into the country and are given a green card. They're granted asylum, given $8,000 per person, even more is given to pregnant women, 7 tax-free years in the U.S. and full medical benefits. So much for equality, signed Reg. Now, I didn't know that. But I trust Reg and the sources that are being quoted here. But think about that. You know how that works. Remember, not the Mariel boat lift, which was an abomination for everybody concerned, most notably for the people who struggled to get here. But in any given day, when, let's say, 2 boats are found in the Florida Straits, one coming from Cuba, one from Haiti. The one from Cuba has 8 people and is sinking. The one from Haiti has 8 people and is sinking. The people are picked up. All 16 brought to the United States. The Haitians are not given hearings. They are immediately sent back to Haiti. The Cubans are given hearings. If they can prove they are political refugees, which anybody in Cuba can claim because, you know, the dirty thug Castro is still in power there after 50 years. He's still in power. They are granted asylum. Same boatload, same 2 boatloads. Wash up near Miami Beach. Both boats capsize. The Cubans swim to the beach. They're safe. They're on dry land, so to speak. The Haitians struggle in the water, and they're not making it to the beach. Coast Guard cutter comes along. Rowboat gets off. They scoop them up, put them on the Coast Guard cutter, bring them to Miami, put them in the detention center, and send them back to Haiti. So please, I mean, Vidal, I think, pointed out something, another salient fact here that is overlooked. You don't see white Mexicans coming to the United States looking for work, do you? You see Mexicans of Indian descent coming to the United States illegally looking for work. So racism in Mexico, take a look at Vicente Fox the next time he's on television, and then take a look at the face or the complexion of the next person they flash on the television to demonstrate who's being deported back to Mexico. Take a look at the difference. The people who say this issue is not racist are either fools or don't understand the issue. Of course it's racist, both in this country and in Mexico. Now, as far as this immigration, illegal immigration problem, the right-wing neo-isolationist Pat Buchanan warned about this 10 years ago when NAFTA was being signed into law, when Bill Clinton was demonstrating his allegiance to and fealty to corporate America. NAFTA was not designed to bring economic justice to anybody. Hello? Everything the neo-isolationist Pat Buchanan, among others, predicted, and some liberals predicted, has come to pass. Hello? It's here. So I know some of you think the sun rises and sets in one of Clinton's body orifices, but Clinton is one of the people most responsible for this because it was Bill Clinton who finally signed it. NAFTA. Oh, well. Okay, last thing I want to toss out here, and then we'll get to work. Take some phone calls. Dick Cheney is going on a six-day trip called a Freedom Agenda trip. If you read the blog at the Malloy section of Air America Radio webpage, you know what I'm talking about. And the country, one of the countries he's going to is Kazakhstan. That's where they boil people alive if that person pisses off the the guy who's been in power there for 16 years. You know, Kazakhstan is a former Soviet member of the Soviet Union. Rather than get into that, just go to the website and read the blog, all right? I'm tired.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 10 before the hour. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. I've been told I do not give the phone number enough. Apologize for that. Write it down. 866-303-2270. So let's go to the calls for a while, okay? Let's start with Armand, who's called from Bradenton. Armand, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I think you're sincere in your beliefs, but I think you're wrong on a few points.
I'm probably wrong on half of what I say. If I'm batting 500, Jesus, if I could do that in the major leagues, I would have the $10 million a year contract, right? What's your problem, Armand?
Well, I think that there's a little truth, but I don't think it's the majority of the truth, the racism factor. I think that you got a lot of people in
the country.
Well,
now, wait a second. Did you get the impression I was suggesting it was the major factor?
It sounded to me like you were inferring that it was.
Okay, well, clean your head out and use some Q-tips in your ears, and that won't happen again. All right, next point.
Well, here's what I think the close to the truth is, and this is my opinion, and I've studied it, and it's probably as good as anybody else's that doesn't stand to gain financially either way, except for a secure future economically. Anyway, I think that there is some racism. There are some people, the old Klan, so to speak, and the people that just don't like anybody of a color being around them or living around them. You know, that element's there, we understand. But I think that's the minor factor here. I think it's the middle class in this country have been screwed over so long by the Democrats, Clinton, and the Bushes, and the Reagans, and they're just fed up. And with jobs for most people that aren't insiders, that aren't connected to the federal politicians and get payoffs and taken care of for, you know, promoting their agenda, the rest of the people out here, like us, it's all supply and demand. Now, you can have a compassionate attitude for these people and be one of the most compassionate persons on this earth, but the fact is, the corporations have aligned everything, and they're evil to where they're going to use these people, if they can, to destroy what's left of the middle class by supply and demand. Point being that they say, oh, they won't take the jobs. You know, Americans don't want to take these jobs. They're beneath them, or they don't pay well. Well, whose fault is it that they don't pay well? If the pigs here that run the corporations want to pay, let's say, $10 an hour for a job, and this is a rich enough country that the people just say, you know, the hell with them. I'm not working for that. That's a bunch of crap. The corporations cheat the free market by having the advantage to let these people come in and fill this void. So what that does is dilute the value of the workers,
okay,
the middle classes.
Okay,
it's all supply and demand.
Okay, Armand, hold on. You realize you're preaching to the choir. I mean, most people listen to this program know what you're saying and agree. I agree.
So let's change it. Here's how we can change it. You know, solutions. There is a solution. We can temporarily. I want to get into one other thing, please, if I may, economically.
Well, I'm going to have to move on here, Armand. Come on, edit yourself. Let's do it quickly.
We could help a little bit with compassion, with foreign aid. Let them stay there. Let them come here legally. And let the ones that have been coming here illegally, so disproportionately, stay there, and we'll help them until, and then make them with sanctions or something, get them
Armand, with all due respect, that's gibberish, okay? What you're saying is just gibberish. Now, you're the first half of what you had to say was salient to the point, made sense. But now you're talking gibberish. You know, leave them there and we'll support them. And, you know, that's nonsense. It's just nonsense, okay? Your initial point is right on the money. The American corporations, in their unending lust for more profit and screwing the American worker, has done exactly what you've said. But let's leave it there. Armand, I thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. We'll talk again. Take care. Okay. Greg is calling from Sacramento. Greg, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I see I'm running out of time here. I just want to say it was a pleasure meeting you Saturday.
Yeah.
And your performance was top notch.
We had a good time.
And I was the gentleman who was sitting down on the floor there when you walked in. So in case you were.
Oh, you're Hemp.
No.
Oh, you're the other guy.
I'm the other guy with the white sweatshirt, had the white sweatshirt on.
Right. Now, by Hemp, in case anybody gets the wrong idea, I'm not saying there was a pot dealer sitting out at the theater. It's just the guy who identified himself as Hemp. And you were the other one sitting out there at 3 hours before showtime to get a ticket, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, got you, Greg.
So hope you can make it out here again soon sometime.
I do, too.
What I wanted to mention, I wanted to follow up on a conversation that you had with somebody last week in reference to the gas issue, and I believe the truckers were tied in with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to endorse, I believe, what the caller had mentioned as far as in relation to a major boycott or organizing a major shutdown of
yeah,
Washington.
Yeah, work stoppage. Let the truckers of America make it crystal clear that the independent truckers are getting to the point where they can't afford to drive the rigs by pulling over the side of the road for 24 or 40 hours. And I think, of course, that will hurt us so-called consumers, but it will make a point. And it will also hurt the people who are making a profit on delivering goods that will then be sold. You're right, Greg. That would be a good idea. I support you. You support me. Let's get together and support the truckers if that ever comes to pass. Greg, I have to leave it there. Thank you. It was good to see you. I'm glad you didn't wind up just sitting out there in front of the theater. I'm glad you made it in. Take care. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Greg. We'll be back, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. After Zacharias Moussaoui was sentenced to life in prison, he again expressed his bizarre defiance. As he was led out of the courtroom, Moussaoui said, quote, "America, you lost, I won." The decision came in the jury's seventh day of deliberations. They only had two choices, a death sentence or life in prison, the same jury had decided back in March. Moussaoui was eligible for execution, but today decided life in prison. George Bush says Moussaoui got a fair trial. He says the verdict represents the end of this case, but not an end of the fight against terror. Some family members of 9/11 victims say they approve of the verdict that spares Moussaoui from execution. Britain and France have introduced a United Nations Security Council resolution aimed at stopping Iran from enriching uranium. The resolution, supported by the U.S. but opposed by Russia and China, it would trigger sanctions against Iran if it does not abandon uranium enrichment. China's U.N. ambassador says he doesn't think a draft Security Council resolution will be adopted. The ambassador says the resolution sponsored by Britain and France was tougher than expected, and as it stands now, says it will not produce good results. China and Russia oppose tough council action, and they could use their veto power on the Security Council to block it. Iran's nuclear chief says his nation has enriched uranium to the upper end of the range needed to make fuel for reactors. In response to rising outrage over gasoline prices, the House has approved criminal penalties and big fines for energy companies caught price gouging. Some Democrats who supported the measure also criticizing George Bush for saying last week that he sees no evidence of price gouging. Bush has not expressed an opinion on the gouging bill today, which goes on to the Senate. Ohio's first election without punch card ballots, marred by many problems with new voting machines. Election officials had trouble printing ballot receipts, finding lost votes, tabulating election results. Some election workers didn't show up on time or at all. Others couldn't figure out how to turn on the machines. The ACLU says Ohio is getting quickly a reputation as the, quote, most corrupt and maybe most incompetent. Tuesday's primary, the first in which all 88 counties in the state used the touchscreen machines. In the Ohio voting, Secretary of State Ken Blackwell won the Republican nomination for governor. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. We're about 7 minutes past the hour. Just let me drop this into the mix here, and then back to your phone calls. The number is 866-303-2270. As you know, Zacharias Moussaoui was found not eligible for the death penalty today, which I think is a positive thing. On the other hand, I think his entire conviction is nonsense. Now, I did not listen to the testimony in the courtroom. I know there was an awful lot of emotional evidence presented by the prosecutors, the United States government, in an attempt to sway the jury to sentence this man to death. He was in jail when the attack occurred on this country on September 11, 2001. From listening to the bits and snatches of testimony that I heard over the past several months, I concluded, just in from my point of view, that this guy was a fraud, a freak, a wannabe, trying to claim notoriety that was not his. I don't think anybody in their right mind would have sent this man to his death. And now look for appeals where it concerns, now that this death penalty phase is finished and he has been convicted. What he was convicted of, if I'm understanding this, was lying to his interrogators when he was arrested 4 years ago or questioned 4 years ago. And the case presented by the federal government was that had he not told those lies, 9/11 could have been prevented. In other words, what the Bush crime family did was place the entire horrific event of September 11, 2001 and all the deaths and whatever subsequent horror has occurred on this man's back. That's insane. I'm not defending him. I'm not defending him. The statements that he made during the trial were the statements of a man who is devoid of compassion, a man who is obviously, in my uneducated opinion, uneducated in terms of psychological disorders, he's unhinged, completely unhinged. The sentence, 23 hours a day, locked into solitary confinement, of a madman. Now, I would assume that very shortly he will go totally insane, unless his lawyers or his legal representatives can work an appeal or what have you. Again, I'm not defending him, but I think the United States, this jury, I think made a profoundly important statement today to the world in saying, no, we're not going to send this man to his death. And it wasn't just one holdout who is anti-capital punishment. The federal government did not present a case substantial to warrant a death penalty, to send someone to their death. Again, this guy was locked up. He was already in jail when 9/11 occurred. And as far as his claims to the contrary notwithstanding, I do not see him as anyone to any extent involved. This stuff about he and the shoe bomber, we're going to fly, oh, for Christ's sake. So I just have to say I admire the courage, and that's what it took, of this jury, who after 6-7 days of deliberations came back with the verdict that they had. If we are going to put people on trial for not sharing information that led to the attack on this country of September 11, 2001. Let's start with George Bush. Let's start with Condoleezza Rice. Let's start with the people within that select circle, the White House Iraq group, who knew damn good and well. The people who wrote the presidential daily briefing of August the 10th or whatever it was. Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States. Let's go for them, and then we'll work our way down to psychotic wannabes like Moussaoui. And no matter how you look at it, there's nothing that any court or jury could do to Moussaoui that would bring any solace to the family members or the victims of 9/11. Nothing can change the horrors of that day. And a solid question would be, why aren't we asking George W. Bush why he ignored the top-level briefing titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike Inside the U.S.? Why isn't he in jail for not as he always says, protecting America, although that's not his job, but he always claims it is. Sick bastard. That's all I have to say about the Massawi thing. If you want to bring it up, that's all right with me. Jeff is calling from Vancouver, Washington. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. First of all, I want to say that about 6 months ago, I switched from rock stations to the local progressive stations, and that's been the best choice I've made in a long time. Second thing I want to say is I'm so thankful that Zacharias Massawi is in prison for life rather than making him a martyr with all the madness and stupid choices that this country has been making over the last 5-6 years. That's pretty much the first really good one that I've seen. And I wanted to make just a quick comment on immigration. I am the working poor. That's what I am. And immigration is not so much hurting the middle class, it is hurting my ability to move into the middle class.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm sorry to do this, Jeff, but it's not immigration that's hurting you. It's not immigration that's hurting the working poor. It is the fact that in this country we do not have several things. First of all, a living minimum wage. You raise the ceiling and all the floor where it concerns the minimum wage, put it up to $12, $14, $16 an hour where a person can support him or herself, and you don't have jobs going begging. And secondly, is that we don't have single-payer health care in this country, which is the single most pronounced reason that people file bankruptcy and go belly up. So let's not, for God's sake, let's not blame the immigrants for something that is purely a domestic problem here.
You're exactly right, Mike, and thank you for clarifying. I was generalizing, and that's my mistake. But what I wanted to say is you had an earlier caller, Armand. I think he was just throwing a number out there, but he was talking about a $10 an hour job that Americans would turn their nose up at. I currently work 60 hours a week at a $9 an hour job.
Yeah.
I would love a dollar an hour raise. My problem is that I cannot afford any kind of college education. When I was younger and Clinton was in office, he had those great bills to get kids that couldn't afford it into college. But my parents, together, they're divorced, made too much money.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't take into account their bills, but I couldn't get those grants until I turned 25.
Mm.
Well, I'm 25 now, and Bush has cut the funding.
Right.
And I can't get in to college, period. I want a hand up so bad. I am struggling. And if it wasn't for my fiance being the most intelligent woman on the planet, we wouldn't be making it. She's got a great job. She's a teacher, and we are raising our son, and we're doing okay. But I am so desperate for a hand up and anything that great increases the supply of workers in this country to me hurts me desperately because it lowers my wages, and I need every dollar I can get my hands on.
Right. I hear you, Jeff, loud and clear. I hate the fact that we live in a society that will overlook someone like you who has all of this desire, but I've got to come back to the idea that if you finish up your very well thought out, very valid statement that you hate policies in this country, immigration policies that drive wages down. Again, you're blaming other victims.
No, I hear you. They're coming here for an opportunity. I mean, they're just as desperate as I am. They just, you know, they had that much more of a struggle. They had to get here. And I want amnesty for all these people. Let's give them amnesty so we can bring them up to the national minimum wage and they can compete at my level and I have a fair shake with them.
Yeah.
So at least then we are competing on the same level, not to where they're so desperate. They'll work for $5 an hour.
I understand.
There's actually a law protecting me, saying you have to pay me a certain amount.
I understand. But corporate America has taken the competitive factor out of it, Jeff. Corporate America doesn't care about you. Corporate America really doesn't care about the immigrant, whether he's or she is legal or illegal. What corporate America cares about is profit. That's it. You're very well spoken. You sound like a very clear-headed young man. You're going to make it. Just please, for God's sake, get through this dark period. You're going to make it, okay?
I will. I just wanted everybody to hear the other perspective.
I got you. Jeff, thanks for calling. I hope you'll call again. Take care. We'll be back after this break.
Them on your dreams, the one they fix.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. Rick is calling from Woodland, California. Rick, welcome to the program.
Listening for about a year now. My question is that I hear you complaining about Bush all the time, but I hear no alternatives. What's your plan?
Remove him from office.
Yeah, I voted for the guy twice, and I'm really disappointed in the fellow myself. Remove him from office, that's fine. He's a dead duck anyway. But I don't hear any plan.
What do you mean plan?
Plan for
what?
Your alternative for, say, high oil prices.
Wait a second, Rick. You are trying the usual right-wing trick on me, and it's not going to work. Let me tell you something, pal. For me, first of all, there's not enough time to answer your question about the oil issue or the price of gasoline. You know, goddamn good and well that's the truth. So don't do this to me. Don't drop a dead dog like that in my lap and expect me to get all flustered, because I don't. I don't like you right wingers. You're responsible. You put this thug in office. If you want some ideas about how to save the country, then you go to any progressive Democratic caucus webpage and take a look. In the meantime, stop calling here. I don't want to hear from you. Goodbye. Adios. You're out of here. Don't give me that nonsense, okay? I'm not interested in your games. This is not a program where you can do me the way Hannity does people, or Limbaugh does people, or the rest of these right-wing pissants. I'm not interested in your games. If you voted for him twice, you don't like him, then get off your lazy white ass and get him out of office. Go become a Democrat just long enough to remove this thug. But don't call my program. I'm not interested in you or anything you have to say. When you start like that, any right winger, any Bush supporter who wants to make peace over this issue, this is your issue. You have dumped this filthy human being into my consciousness, into this country's consciousness. You have dumped this filthy pig onto the world scene. You right wingers, you Republicans, you people who say you voted for him twice, what the hell is wrong with you? So don't come whining ass up to my program and toss a corpse in my lap and expect me to give you some kind of a slick answer. Bat squeeze. You want that kind of nonsense? Go to a right-wing program. I'm not interested, nor are the people who listen to this program interested. I hope I've made myself clear. Jesus. Mike is calling from Denton, Texas. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I was thinking Hog's Knot. You went with Bat Squeeze, but Hog's Knot would have worked, too.
Yeah, both of them.
Right? Hey, you know, I just wanted to remind you, you know, it's been more than a year since the Downing Street memo was published in the Times of London and revealed what we all knew in our hearts, but now we could prove in a court of law, negligent homicide, you know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
All things are moot. What are we talking about immigration for? It's a Rovian dialogue. Try to split great wedge issues like always. What does it all matter?
Wait a second. You're saying that that every issue is irrelevant. I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm just saying that you know, now that we see that there's proof of criminal negligent homicide on a mass level.
Right.
It's war, and it's not just lying about war in Iraq. You know, lying to go to war. Profiteering. I mean, it's really negligent homicide. And, mm-hmm. you know, since then, I mean, yeah, then Katrina and all these things. If we're not just there actively removing him, it's all kind of a moot point, you know?
Well, I hear you, and I certainly agree with that. Now, you're talking about, you're referencing, I think, this immigration issue as being just one more diversion.
Yeah, it's just another diversion.
Well, I tend to agree with that, but it is a diversion. It's being used as an attempt to allow these filthy Republicans to retain their neo-fascist control of this country in the off-year election. On the other hand, there is a very valid overarching truth to this this immigration issue, and it's what we've been discussing on this program. If we are truly interested in the general welfare, which I believe the Constitution calls for, of people, citizens of this country, then we provide two things, and then we'll talk. The first thing, single-payer health care. The second thing, a living minimum wage. For one person working at minimum wage in a major city in this country can find a damn one-bedroom apartment to live in, which right now cannot be done. And then everything else will evolve or devolve from those two issues, right?
But we've got a guy who commits negligent homicide on a mass level.
I understand. Let's get rid of him. Let's get his ass out of office, and that's going to take either Republicans with a sense of moral conviction, what am I saying, or Democrats elected in November. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your call. We'll be back after the break.
Impeach the nightmare impositor of a nightmare surveillance state, and impeach the impoverisher of those who work for wages.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
26 before the hour. You know, I was thinking about Rush Limbaugh's conditions to not go to jail and have a bunkmate named Bubba. And he has to. I wonder how often he has to pee in a cup. And I wonder if he's going to ask whoever his current girlfriend is to, you know, to watch him do that. Rush has some real toilet issues, doesn't he? I just got an email from somebody who pointed that out. That in his travels, Rush usually evaluates a foreign country by the condition of their toilet facilities. Jesus, what a freak! Oh, now speaking of freaks, regarding that right-wing caller, this is so typical, so typical. You know, this schmuck tells me he voted for Bush twice, and Bush has screwed things up, and he doesn't know what to do. And he comes to me, a liberal, a Democrat, a progressive, and asks me for a solution. This ignorant son of a bitch couldn't sit down and write a solution if somebody held a gun to his head. So what does he do? He comes to me. This is as ridiculous as if I or you and some right-wing freak, let's say we owned a car together. And it's a right-wing freak's week to drive the car, and the right-wing freak puts a monkey behind the wheel. And the monkey drives through town, smashing into stuff, and finally runs the damn thing through a wall of Walmart, kills six people, and smashes up $10,000 worth of merchandise. And the guy comes to me and he says, well, what do we do now? Hey, ass, you put the monkey there. What the hell are you asking me for? Why are you asking Democrats? These are the punks and the pigs that say Democrats don't have any ideas. It's so irritating. It's so irritating. You little snotty right-wingers who do everything in your power to destroy this country, to ruin the economy, to embarrass this nation on a global stage with your 19th century provincialism and your medieval attitudes about the Enlightenment or science. And you put some nonsensical little freak in position of power like George Bush, and when he screws up everything, you come running to a liberal talk show host or a Democrat on the street with your little whiny, well, now what do we do? Well, what do we do? Well, what do we do? Maybe what you need to do is to see this as a clear object lesson in just stay home. Don't even bother voting ever again. Stay home, moron. If that's the best you can do, you voted for this freak twice? Stay home! Sit down and shut up and let the adults step in and try and spend the next 20 years cleaning up a horrendous mess that you and your ilk caused in this country. But don't come asking me or any other Democrat or liberal or progressive or normal person how to clean up what your monkey did, you freak. Jeez. Speaking of freaks and monkeys, nothing pulls my chain quicker, I swear to God. What am I supposed to do now? I voted for Bush twice. Help, help. You liberals don't have any solutions. We crapped all over this country by putting this guy in, and you liberals are out of buckets and mops. Now what? We got to live in the stench. Do something. Go to hell. Speaking of freaks, monkeys, and evil creatures, Scott McClellan, press briefing yesterday. I just got a couple here for you. In case you didn't see it, because it was blown off the pages by the immigration demonstrations, the Justice Department is trying to make up its mind whether or not to use espionage laws against reporters who are given information by whistleblowers that the Bush administration and then publish that information, that the Bush administration is creating impeachable criminal acts against the people of this country. So this degenerate freak Gonzalez has come up with an idea. Well, let's get some legislation passed here, okay? Anybody who tells the truth, we're going to charge him with espionage. You sick bastard. Gonzalez. So Helen Thomas asked Scott McClellan the other day, Scott, what does the president think of the Justice Department contemplating the use of espionage laws against reporters who find out secrets in this administration, like wiretapping and secret prisons?
Think you're going to issues relating to the leaking of classified information? Is that what you're asking about? Mm-hmm. The leaking of classified information is a very serious matter, and the president has spoken about that repeatedly. And it is a particular concern when information is being leaked that could harm our nation's security. And there are laws on the book, and I will let our law enforcement officials talk about the enforcement actions that they are taking.
But my question is, does the president support the use of these espionage laws against reporters?
The president believes law should be enforced, and he believes that the leaking of classified information that would be harmful to our nation's security is a very serious matter.
Ah, shut up. Gotta be so glad when this punk ass is gone. Oh, my God. It is of particular concern when information is being leaked that could harm our nation's security. Oh, yeah? By finding out we have secret prisons for torture? How does that harm our nation's security? Oh, never mind. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, my God. Next reporter. Thanks, Scott. This past Sunday, Josh Bolton said that it was time for the White House to sort of begin to get its mojo back. Bolton sounds like a juvenile little twerp. Who is he now? Austin Powers? International Man of Deception? Time to get mojo back. If you ever came within 100 miles of a mojo, Mr. Bolton, your inverted white hiney would just shrivel up in a manner that would just make you feel like all of a sudden you'd become a prune. Time to get our mojo back? The Bush administration, time to get its mojo? Do you know what the word means, you dummy? Oh, well. Scott, this past Sunday, Josh Bolton said it was time for the White House to sort of begin to get its mojo back, and you're going to have the president meeting with the congressional Republican leadership in the next couple of hours. Can you give us an idea of how the mojo renovation is going, the refreshing of it? Is there at some point a concern with the president and here at the White House that Republican numbers are dropping and the GOP at each end of Pennsylvania Avenue needs to get its mojo back faster?
Under this president's leadership, we're achieving real and meaningful results for the American people. We are advancing in the war on terrorism by taking the fight to the enemy. America is safer because of it. We are seeing a growing and strong economy because
mojo,
of the tax
mojo.
Cuts that we have put in place.
Mojo.
We need to make sure that those tax cuts
mojo,
stay
mojo.
In place.
Mojo. Mojo, mojo.
Moving forward on providing seniors with better options,
mojo,
better
mojo.
Healthcare choices, including prescription drug coverage.
I'm going to shake a bone of you, boy. Come over here, boy. Look at me. I'm going to shake a chicken bone at your ass. Mojo. Come on down here to the swamp one night. Was you there, Scott? We're going to be eating some alligator meat. We're going to be refreshing the mojo. And I'm going to shake a bone on your ass, boy. Mojo? These pasty-faced white boys are talking about mojo?
What does he mean he's going to shake a bone at me? What does it, is that something sexual? What is...
Last one from Simple Scotty tonight. Thank you, Jesus. This one on Bush's dismal poll numbers, which they still try to slough off like so much nasty dandruff. Reporter says, Scott? You said the president is focused on results, not polls. At what point will he have to focus on polls if, in fact, they continue to drop as they are now doing?
You all are going to stay focused on polls, and that's what you can do. We're going to keep doing, getting things done for the American people. That's what the American people want us to do.
The president continues to stay focused on results, but those results themselves result in
Let me make clear. The American people want their leaders in Washington to work together to get things done on the important priorities facing this country and the big challenges facing this country. This president believes in solving problems and leading and working across the partisan aisle to get things done. And that's what he's going to continue doing. And I think that we'll let the results speak for themselves.
They have, Doughboy. That's the exact point of the questions. The results are speaking for themselves. You better go work on that mojo. You better go work on that mojo. You better sit yourself down with one of them black ladies from the bad part of New Orleans. With that real midnight black skin. You know what I'm talking about, Mojo Boy? And talk to her. McClellan says this president believes in solving problems. He does. When does that start? Scott needs to sit down, or Josh Bolton needs to sit down with one of those midnight ladies from one of those little shops. They used to exist in New Orleans where they had the monkey paws and the alligator penises. And talk about the mojo. Get a bone shook at them.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, you should steal the band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I hear the voices.
It's 8 minutes before the hour. All right. Herb is calling from Columbia, Mississippi, with an update for us here on Janice in Detroit, the woman who called in the darkness from a cell phone charge on a neighbor's electrical outlet. Hey, Herb.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight? This is just for Kathy. It's been a coon's age since I talked to you last.
It has indeed.
I wanted to tell you what's going on. The people have just been wonderful. We have a gentleman from Finland, a friend of mine. A couple of months ago, he loaned me $200 to help me out, some of the Katrina crash. And he told me not to pay him back, but to send that $200 to Kathy and use it for any expenses that I have that go along with it.
You mean to Janice?
Janice, I'm sorry. And so he has donated $200, and he lives in Finland. He's
wow.
The first lieutenant in the Finnish Marine Corps. Also, one individual has donated $500 alone.
You're kidding.
And then another one, $300 alone. So,
holy cow.
I want to say to those people, hey, folks, you know, this right wing wanted to know what kind of plans we had. Well, folks, there is one example right there.
Well,
we take care of our own folks. And you guys have been so great. Mike, I'm sorry to talk over you, buddy. But this is the way America is supposed to be. This is the America I served in the military two times for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the America that I talk about on powersandmorrison.com, because this is how we take our country back, you right-wing fools. Thank you, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get in a rant. But
no, that's all right, Herb. And thank you for handling this for Janice. We've mentioned it a couple of times. Whatever response has come from listeners out there, let me just add my thanks to just responding to someone, a voice in the night who called this program, and other people, other voices responded. And
see, Mike, that's what America's about, pal.
Yeah,
that is the America that I served. I don't know about this America I'm seeing today, but the America I served, and believe me, Mike, every morning, every night, I suffer pain from injuries that I got in my service days.
I hear you.
And you know what? I don't mind those pains if I know it's worthwhile.
But
this administration, you know, you want to talk about immigration. Hey, what kind of immigration problems was caused for Kathy? I mean, for Janice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasn't immigration that lost her job.
Right.
It was discrimination, folks.
Yeah.
Discrimination. You can talk about immigration, but that is a fluff issue. It is an issue, but it's something that we can solve if we use our American values. Mike, I'm on the rant. Hey, listen, John Elliott, wonderful guy, and I have talked to his producers and webmaster, Nathan and Gregory, and hey, these guys are for real. I thank you so much for exposing me to them.
Well, you're more than welcome. He's the young man that filled in for me last Thursday night when I was on my way to San Francisco, for those of you who don't know what Herb's referring to. Herb, thank you. I appreciate what you've done for Janice, and just take care.
Hey, anytime, partner. I'm glad I could do something.
And we'll talk soon. Take care.
Okay, Mike. Bye-bye.
He's a great American, Herb. He is. He mailed me that night, and he said, if folks want to send something, I'll set up the PayPal thing and, you know, make sure everything gets to her. And you can tell, you know, you talk 5 minutes to Herb, and you know you could trust him with anything. And I'm just very grateful that we have listeners like that.
And a great citizen of Nolens.
No, he lives in Mississippi.
Close enough.
Right. Close enough. Oh, my God. Luke is calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Luke, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, you were talking earlier about the embassy over in Iraq, you know, 592 $1 million special over there, our non-permanent place, I believe.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Well, the one that got me, though, was the one here with the fellow you were just talking to, was this thing with Senators Lott and Cochran going to get $700 million to move a railway.
Oh, yeah.
Even damaged.
Right. So they can put a road in its place or some damn thing, move it's a road so they can put a railway.
Or something.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold on a second, Luke. Okay. I got a break here. We'll come back and finish up the conversation. And y'all stay online. We're going to take some more calls when we come back after the break, all right? This is Air America. This is Air America Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask? Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. After Zacharias Moussaoui was sentenced to life in prison, he again expressed his bizarre defiance. As he was led out of the courtroom, Moussaoui said, quote, America, you lost, I won. The decision came in the jury's seventh day of deliberations. They only had two choices, a death sentence or life in prison, the same jury had decided back in March. Moussaoui was eligible for execution, but today decided life in prison. George Bush says Moussaoui got a fair trial. He says the verdict represents the end of this case, but not an end of the fight against terror. Some family members of 9/11 victims say they approve of the verdict that spares Moussaoui from execution. Britain and France have introduced a United Nations Security Council resolution aimed at stopping Iran from enriching uranium. The resolution, supported by the U.S. but opposed by Russia and China, it would trigger sanctions against Iran if it does not abandon uranium enrichment. China's U.N. ambassador says he doesn't think a draft Security Council resolution will be adopted. The ambassador says the resolution sponsored by Britain and France was tougher than expected, and as it stands now, says it will not produce good results. China and Russia oppose tough council action, and they could use their veto power on the Security Council to block it. Iran's nuclear chief says his nation has enriched uranium to the upper end of the range needed to make fuel for reactors. In response to rising outrage over gasoline prices, the House has approved criminal penalties and big fines for energy companies caught price gouging. Some Democrats who supported the measure also criticizing George Bush for saying last week that he sees no evidence of price gouging. Bush has not expressed an opinion on the gouging bill today, which goes on to the Senate. Ohio's first election without punch card ballots, marred by many problems with new voting machines. Election officials had trouble printing ballot receipts, finding lost votes, tabulating election results. Some election workers didn't show up on time or at all. Others couldn't figure out how to turn on the machines. The ACLU says Ohio is getting quickly a reputation as the, quote, most corrupt and maybe most incompetent. Tuesday's primary, the first in which all 88 counties in the state used the touchscreen machines. In the Ohio voting, Secretary of State Ken Blackwell won the Republican nomination for governor. This is Air America Radio News. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A couple of quick emails and back to your calls. Aurora in San Francisco writes regarding those questions to Scott McClellan about the polls showing, you know, Bush in the toilet and the American public with his hand on the crank. Aurora writes, I'd love to have one of those reporters ask the quack the following, quote, since the polls clearly show that the majority of the American people disagree with what the president is doing, how can you say that you're doing what the American people want by continuing with the same policies, end quote, or words to that effect, Aurora writes. Well, that would cause Scotty's head to start spinning and fly off and all the springs and wires and just come roiling out, and everybody would freak and scream and run out of the room, and McClellan would just reach over and pick up his head and put it back, and, you know, somebody would come up with a soldering iron and go, that's it. From Dave in Orange County writes, hi, Mike, when you were talking about the obscenely large American embassy being erected in Baghdad, it reminded me of nothing so much as the mega churches. I live just a few miles from the famed Crystal Cathedral, the monument to the ego of Robert Schuller. I had the misfortune of attending a service there once to hear a musician friend of mine perform and got to listen to a pitch to buy $500 glass bricks to build yet another building. So is it any wonder that these right-wing Christianist freaks are building monuments to their own egos while the poor and oppressed are ignored? It seems to me the dynamic is the same. I don't think Jesus would approve, do you? Dave in Orange County, California. No, Dave, I don't. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, dipping into Christian mythology, if Jesus were the Son of God and decided to come back and wreak vengeance and havoc on these fake Christians, I think there would be a crunching sound all over the place as their heads were snapped off and Jesus tossed them into hell to be used as soccer balls by the already condemned, or something like that. Diego is calling from San Diego, California. Hey, James, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right, good. Well, I just came to call to tell you about how what I believe is a really sad thing for the U.S. and good for Latin America is how they're losing their grip on Latin America due to this, all of these fighting going on with these Arabs, what the right-wingers would call it.
Mm-hmm.
What
are you saying? You're saying this affects the attitude of Latin Americans where it concerns the U.S.?
No, what I'm saying pretty much is how the U.S. is losing their influences in Latin America. Now a bunch of left-wing politicians, for example, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, and hopefully in Mexico, Obrador wins.
Well, also in Bolivia, also in Ecuador.
In Bolivia, yeah.
And
my
soon,
father was telling me about Bolivia.
Yeah, and soon in Colombia and in Brazil. I mean, it's happening all over. Look, South America has been used as some sort of box into which North America has dipped its hands whenever it felt the need to do so and ripped out natural resources. We have overthrown governments. We have put dictators in place in South America to protect American corporate interests. It's surprising to me that Latin Americans are so tolerant of the United States that they haven't declared war on us. One word, Chile.
Chile, yeah. And one more thing on this illegal immigration thing. I personally think it's just a distraction. Like last time during the elections of 2004, the last distraction was gay marriage, for example. Mm-hmm. And this is just another attempt for the neocons to win the election once again. And unfortunately, it's like back in the day during the 1800s, we're being scapegoated just like the Irish back in the day.
Now, when you say we, who do you mean?
Illegal immigrants, because I'm a U.S. citizen, but my parents don't have legal status here.
Really?
And that's, yes.
How do they get through the day? I mean,
today here in San Diego there were around 10 border checkpoints around here. It's
right.
Really scary for my parents. Yeah.
Well, do your parents work? Do they have a profession?
Well, My dad has his own company right now, and I'd rather not say the name of the company.
Well, no, that's fine, but I'm just curious. If your dad has a company, he has employees. If he files any sort of tax returns or P&L statements or works with an accountant, how does he maintain his legal status or illegal status or whatever the hell it's called, and not have the INS people coming to the store?
No, because my dad used to be a legal. He used to have a work permit back in the day, just a couple 6 years ago, and then suddenly they just told him, you know what, you don't have a permit. Oh well, just start leaving the country if you can. And for some strange reason, they just took away his work permit, which I thought was unfair. And I see a bunch of cholo kids who don't do anything, just waste their time in school, and they get papers while my parents are trying to give us a better life than they would have in Mexico City.
Yeah.
And these kids are just wasting their opportunity, just wasting the given chance they have, and just seeing people who actually are trying to make a living just being taken advantage of.
Well, I've got to fall back on cliches and say I hope things work out. I really do. This is such a incendiary issue. Hey, Diego, thanks for checking in. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Call again sometime.
All right. Sure.
All right. Take care. And Luke in Nashville. I'm sorry, Luke. I kind of space out and
that's
and
okay.
All right. We're back to you.
Hey, can I ask one quick question before we go back to our thing?
Sure.
Is there any truth to the rumor that as soon as Scotty leaves the White House, he's going down to Walt Disney so they can Disney World so they can change out his tapes?
Well, you know? I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
No, but like I say, what do you see down there that they're going to spend $700 million moving a rail line that's not damaged? That's in working order.
Yeah, what Luke is talking about is Thad Cochran and who else?
Trent Lott,
the two senators from Mississippi, want almost $1 billion for this little toy project of theirs. But anyway, yeah, is that still a possibility?
Oh yeah, they got at least on the Senate side, they got it passed by like one vote, supposedly. So I don't know, it still has to go back through the House or what. But apparently Lott and Cochran have been just absolutely twisting arms right and left and, calling in all the markers.
Yeah, so, and God knows they have them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one that got to me tonight was talking about cost and how much our government's spending that we don't pay attention to was, okay, when they first passed this what they call Medicare reform, I remember this when they passed it. They said $350 to $400 billion, I believe, is what they originally passed it as. And, it's going to, fix things up, and it's just going to be $400 billion. I was listening to the NewsHour tonight, and they were talking about it. I think the cost on it right now, and it still hadn't been, it still really actually doesn't go into effect like till next week, at full power, $1.9
trillion. Well, I.
But you know what I mean? That's one thing when they ever talk about it, they don't mention it. Oh, by the way, don't you remember we sold this to you at $400?
And we're
spending your money like it's. We're putting it in buckets and throwing it out the windows.
I hear you, Luke. All right, listen, buddy. Good to hear from you again. Take care. Watch your back, all right?
All right. Bye, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Luke. Anthony is calling from, Anthony, hold on. We'll come back to you right after the break. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
We live in a global world, and that creates uncertainty in some. I understand that.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021. Or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Anthony is calling from South Carolina. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm an illegal immigrant working in the U.S. I live in the U.S. for 16 years now.
Uh-huh.
I'm self-employed. I own a house. I got my kids here, born here. I pay for everything. I don't get no help from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how this guest worker is going to work for me, since I'm self-employed, and I own property in U.S. If I stay there 3 years or also 3 years, I believe it is, and then you gotta go back to your country of origin, and then apply again to come back. How's that gonna work for me if I'm a self-employed? I don't depend on. I mean, I'm a subcontractor, and I own properties in the U.S. How's that going to work for me?
Well, Anthony, I can see just a train load of problems heading your way. The only thing I could suggest to protect yourself here in the land of the free and the home of the brave is to get a damn good attorney to represent you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did a few times trying to get a work contract, but it never worked. I did try three times. I paid taxes since I came, and I've been self-employed for 10 years now. And I don't know what what's going to happen to me. I don't want to go back. I love this country. I like the life here, and I'm used to this life here. I don't think I can get used to. I mean, I came when I was 20 years old.
Are your children American citizens? Anybody in your family American citizen by birth?
Yes, I got three kids.
Are they all American?
I got a four-year-old and twins. They're 2 years old.
Well, there's a term for your children, and I know it's kind of cynical, but your children are called anchor children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means? Because they are American citizens by virtue of the fact they were born here, they are your anchor. Do you understand?
Yeah, do I have to wait till they reach 18 years old?
No. They're American citizens now if they were born here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, but if how long I gotta wait for me to become a resident?
Oh, I have no idea, Anthony. I'm just saying that because you have children who are American citizens, it's going to be extremely difficult, if not immoral, to publicly make you leave this country because your children don't have to leave. What are they going to do? Tell dad, that's you, to get out of the country and leave a four-year-old and two-year-old twins behind?
Yeah, but I think being so young, they are probably going to stay. They can used to. If I move, I got to move.
No. It doesn't matter. They're still American citizens. It doesn't matter if they're 2 weeks old. They're American citizens, and they can't be deported because you are not. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to get a lawyer. You need to find someone. What nationality are you?
I'm from South America, Uruguay.
Uruguay?
Yes.
If there was any way that you can contact the Uruguayan embassy or council, I don't know if they have one in South Carolina. If you live in Columbia, South Carolina, or Charleston, South Carolina, there may be an Uruguayan consulate. But if not, then what I strongly recommend is that you contact the Uruguayan embassy in Washington, D.C., and explain the situation and ask them to refer you to an Uruguayan-American attorney. Okay, well, I guess we lost him. He was on the cell phone. I hope you heard that part, Anthony. I hope you heard that part. Just Jesus. Ray is calling from Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing? I enjoy your program. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I stopped doing some work, and you guys seem to be on a roll tonight, so I wanted to call in.
Well, let her rip.
Well, there's been some comments made tonight about the immigration issue, and somebody tried to put words in your mouth. I felt like incorrectly. I don't think you said it, but I think historically about racism and tensions of racism in the immigration issue. You know, if you really listen to the debate, sometimes the overtones of a really racist language does seem to come out. And if you look historically, and even the Federalists started right away with the Alien and Sedition Act, if you look at the nativist movement, if you look at the Know Nothing Party, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, there's
no.
in history, you've had elevated sensation against immigration. There's always been racism attached to that. Historically, we can see the pattern is very, very strong.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. And in the case of so many immigrants from Mexico, the racism is on both ends. They get racism from white Mexicans. They get racism from white United States citizens. And it's hell. Hey, listen, Ray, I have to leave it there, pal. I appreciate you checking in. You need to call again, and we'll chat again about this or any other issue. Quick break.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Ray. We'll be right back with tonight's reading of 1984.
Bleeding man. She was. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers. Business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
We'll be right back.
O'Brien and Winston Smith have been in their torture dance now for there's no telling how long. In Orwell's account, it's been going on for page after page after page. And as O'Brien has tried to point out to Winston Smith, the purpose here is to cleanse his mind, to cleanse Winston Smith's mind, to get all the falsity, the rumors, the deceitfulness out of his mind, so he can have this purity of soul that the party looks for. O'Brien has also made the revealing statement that the one thing that Winston Smith has to realize is that power is power over human beings. And Winston is tied to the bed. The electrodes are still attached to his body, and the interrogation goes on. We'll pick it up with Winston Smith asking a question. But the world itself is only a speck of dust, and man is tiny, helpless. How long has he been in existence? For millions of years, the earth was uninhabited. Nonsense. The earth is as old as we are. No older. How could it be older? Nothing exists except your human consciousness. But the rocks are full of bones of extinct animals, mammoths and mastodons and enormous reptiles which lived here long before man was ever heard of. Have you ever seen those bones, Winston? Of course not. 19th century biologists invented them. Before man, there was nothing. After man, if he could come to an end, there would be nothing. Outside man, there is nothing. But the whole universe is outside us. Look at the stars. Some of them are a million light years away. They're out of our reach forever. What are the stars? Said O'Brien. They are bits of fire. A few kilometers away. We could reach them if we wanted to, or we could blot them out. The Earth is the center of the universe. The sun and the stars go round it. Winston made another convulsive movement. This time he did not say anything. O'Brien continued as though answering a spoken objection. For certain purposes, of course, that is not true. When we navigate the ocean or when we predict an eclipse, we often find it convenient to assume that the Earth goes round the sun and that the stars are millions upon millions of kilometers away. But what of it? Do you suppose it is beyond us to produce a dual system of astronomy? The stars can be near or distant according as we need them. Do you suppose our mathematicians are unequal to that? Have you forgotten doublethink? Winston shrank back upon the bed. Whatever he said, the swift anger crushed him like a bludgeon, and yet he knew that he was in the right. The belief that nothing exists outside your own mind, surely there must be some way of demonstrating that was false. Had it not been exposed long ago as a fallacy? There was even a name for it, which he had forgotten. A faint smile twitched the corners of O'Brien's mouth as he looked down at him. I told you, Winston, he said, that metaphysics is not your strong point. The world you are trying to think of, the word you are trying to think of, is solipsism. But you are mistaken. This is not solipsism. Collective solipsism, if you like, but that is a different thing. In fact, the opposite thing. All this is a digression. The real power, the power we have to fight for night and day, is not power over things, but over men. He paused and for a moment assumed again his air of a schoolmaster questioning a promising pupil. How does one man assert his power over another, Winston? Winston thought. By making him suffer, he said. Exactly. By making him suffer. Obedience is not enough. Unless he is suffering, how can you be sure that he is obeying your will and not his own? Power is in inflicting pain and humiliation. Power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. Do you begin to see then what kind of world we are creating? It is the exact opposite of the stupid hedonistic utopias that the old reformers imagined. A world of fear and treachery is torment, a world of trampling and being trampled upon, a world which will grow not less but more merciless as it refines itself. Progress in our world will be progress toward more pain. The old civilizations claimed that they were founded on love or justice. Ours is founded upon hatred. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. Everything else we shall destroy. Everything. Already we are breaking down the habits of thought which have survived from before the revolution. We have cut the links between child and parent, and between man and man, and between man and woman. No one dares trust a wife or a friend or a child any longer. But in the future, there will be no wives and no friends. Children will be taken from their mothers at birth as one takes eggs from a hen. The sex instinct will be eradicated. Procreation will be an annual formality like the renewal of a ration card. We shall abolish the orgasm. Our neurologists are at work upon it now. There will be no loyalty except loyalty toward the party. There will be no love except the love of Big Brother. There will be no laughter except the laugh of triumph over a defeated enemy. There will be no art, no literature, no science. When we are omnipotent, we shall have no more need of science. There will be no distinction between beauty and ugliness. There will be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. But always, do not forget this, Winston, always there will be the intoxication of power, constantly increasing and constantly growing subtler. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face. Forever. He paused as though he expected Winston to speak. Winston had tried to shrink back into the surface of the bed again. He could not say anything. His heart seemed to be frozen. O'Brien went on, "And remember that it is forever. The face will always be there to be stamped upon. The heretic, the enemy of society, will always be there so that he can be defeated and humiliated over again. Everything that you have undergone since you have been in our hands, all that will continue and worse. The espionage, the betrayals, the arrests, the tortures, the executions, the disappearances will never cease. It will be a world of terror as much as a world of triumph. The more the party is powerful, the less it will be tolerant. The weaker the opposition, the tighter the despotism. Goldstein and his heresies will live forever. Every day, at every moment, they will be defeated, discredited, ridiculed, spat upon, and yet they will always survive. This drama that I've played out with you during 7 years will be played out over and over again, generation after generation, always in subtler forms. Always we shall have the heretic here at our mercy, screaming with pain, broken up, contemptible, and in the end, utterly penitent, saved from himself, crawling to our feet of his own accord. That is the world we are preparing, Winston. A world of victory after victory, triumph after triumph after triumph, an endless pressing, pressing, pressing upon the nerve of power. You are beginning, I can see, to realize that this world will be what this world will be like, but in the end, you will do more than understand it. You will accept it, welcome it, become part of it. Winston had recovered himself sufficiently to speak. "You can't," he said weakly. "What do you mean by that remark, Winston?"
"You could not create such a world as you have just described. It's a dream. It's impossible."
"Why?"
It's impossible to found a civilization on fear and hatred and cruelty. It would never endure."
"Why not?"
It would have no vitality. It would disintegrate. It would commit suicide."
"Nonsense. You are under the impression that hatred is more exhausting than love. Why should it be? And if it were, what difference would that make? Suppose that we chose to wear ourselves out faster. Suppose that we quicken the tempo of human life till men are senile at 30. Still, what difference would it make? Can you not understand that the death of the individual is not death? The party is immortal." As usual, the voice had battered Winston into helplessness. Moreover, he was in dread that if he persisted in his disagreement, O'Brien would twist the dial again. And yet he could not keep silent, feebly, without arguments, with nothing to support him except his inarticulate horror of what O'Brien had said. He returned to the attack.
"I don't know. I don't care. Somehow you will fail. Something will defeat you. Life will defeat you."
We control life, Winston, at all its levels. You are imagining that there's something called human nature, which will be outraged by what we do or will turn against us, but we create human nature. Men are infinitely malleable, or perhaps you have returned to your old idea that the proletarians or the slaves will arise and overthrow us. Put it out of your mind. They are helpless, like the animals. Humanity is the party. The others are outside, irrelevant. I don't care. In the end, they will beat you. Sooner or later, they will see you for what you are, and then they will tear you to pieces. Do you see evidence that that is happening, or any reason why it should? No, I believe it. I know that you will fail. There's something in the universe, I don't know, some spirit, some principle that you will never overcome. Do you believe in God, Winston?
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I got a pretty good antennae.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Get your mojo working, white boy. 10 before the hour, thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, and Lauren Kirchner. In New York, Lauren screened your calls tonight. Thanks, Lauren. Justin and Jason engineered the program. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Ben Birch archives the program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer of the Mike Malloy program. Back to some phone calls here. Sean is calling from Vancouver, Canada. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I called in a long time ago, and I tried to get the name going for your Hate Man, but I don't think it picked up at all.
The name of what?
Hate Man.
Hate Man.
Remember that? Maybe 6 months ago. Anyway, it's not important.
Okay.
I was just calling to touch on a point which I think a lot of people sort of don't even think about, and that is that, I'll use the example of Latin Americans. They, more often than not, don't even want to have to move anywhere. They do so out of economic necessity, and there's sort of this ethnocentric attitude coming from everywhere. It happens here in Canada, too, where, you know, we've had a lot of refugees from Chile and El Salvador and everything, and, you know, people here just take this sort of congratulatory attitude towards themselves and, say, look what we've done, you know, we're so great. But the truth is a lot of people who arrive here legally or illegally, are often quite depressed just with all the cultural differences, never mind all the other obstacles they have to face. So for everybody who says that, oh, they don't know the language or they don't appreciate it or this, that, and the other.
And you know, what you're describing right now is a set of conditions that brings about to displace people, which is what immigrants are, alcoholism, violence, domestic violence, depression, mental disturbances or disorders. That's one thing I don't think Americans understand, because we have never had to, not in any acute sense of the phrase, we've never had to leave this country in order to find work or in order to find a life. If we've left this country, if we've emigrated, it's because we chose to. And we went to countries that said you've got to have assets to be here to begin with. So you're making a very important point, and that is that people who are forced to leave their homes, the key word is forced, they're not coming here because they want to leave and, you know, go to the United States for some reason other than work.
Not only that, but, a lot of the so-called problems they bring with them, and I just know El Salvador best because I know many Salvadorians, but, for example, like the gangs that started up in L.A., for example, those were basically the children of, those were basically people who were orphaned or otherwise displaced and who basically were forced into one of the poorest neighborhoods in L.A., where gangs were already well-established, and they sort of formed out of a necessity to protect themselves. Because they're sort of already, like Mexican gangs, I believe it was, already well established, and that was their turf.
And one can't help but wonder how many of those people were put in that position because of U.S. policy, backing death squads.
That's exactly it. I mean, I would say that is a direct reaction to that. Also,
Was it Stokely Carmichael or H. Rapp Brown who said when... On the occasion of the assassination of John Kennedy, the statement, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be so sort of crude about it, but, I mean, for every country, especially in Latin America, that the U.S. has meddled with through whatever means, I think they deserve to inherit the refugees and sort of anybody they displace.
Well, even in the Christian Bible, I believe it's the Bible, they talk about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. You can't have a power like the United States who has just stomped all over its neighbors in the Western Hemisphere and expect just love and kisses and sweetness to come back. This sort of thing of violence and dislocation and anger and rage and illegality is a direct result of policies in this hemisphere by the U.S. It just is. There's no way to get around it.
Yeah, not to mention just one last thing that for anyone that sort of doesn't believe this, just think that you have a military base there not far from where you are that's devoted to training Latin American soldiers.
Right,
and has done for decades.
Sure, and the new governments of some of these countries, the new governments that are decidedly populist or left or progressive, are pulling back their armed forces from ever going to the School of the Americas again because of the historical meaning of going to SOA, which was to go back to your home country, and after having learned how to torture and disappear and murder and destroy opposition parties.
Exactly.
I hope we can pull out of this. I really do. I hope we can pull out of it, we being the United States. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate your comments.
Have a good night.
All right. Take care. I do. I've said before, I love my country, whatever that means. I love the physicalness of the United States of America. But I also love the documents that were put together by folks, even though they were based on racism and genocide. I know. I understand. But the documents themselves never committed to racism or genocide. And there are such good ideas in there. French ideas. Liberté, fraternité, égalité. Yeah. Thanks for participating tonight in the Molloy program. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Watch your back. Take care. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oric XL risk-free for 30 days.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!